Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Roz Rose the Pacific is brought to you by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Roz Rose the Pacific with Roz Savage, episode 53, on July 17th, 2009, in the doldrums.
This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 53 of Roz Rose the Pacific. And I'm filling in for Leo one last week. My name is Nicole Bilodeau, and I am Roz's program director. Roz, you've just joined us from about 1,800 miles out of the Pacific. How's it going?
It's going great. It's going southeast, actually, which is a change of direction. And people watching the Roz tracker might be wondering what the heck I'm thinking, because it looks like I'm heading away from where I actually want to go. But believe me, there is method in my madness. I've got a cunning strategy, and the plan is I've got some nice calm conditions at the moment, so I'm trying to head back east a little bit so that when the winds kick back in, they'll actually be knowing me where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually quite pleased about the new development and quite happy about the way that I'm going. And I just want to let you know, I was really hoping that I was going to be able to do this podcast from out on the deck, because it's so calm at the moment. And I thought, great, instead of sitting and sweltering in my corner of a cabin, I can sit out on deck, and it's lovely out there at the moment. The water was so calm. It was like being in an aquarium. I could see loads of fish down below the boat. It was really cool. But there's a very big black cloud heading my way, so I've had to beat a retreat into the cabin. So I'm back in the sauna. So I hope that once the storm hits, it's not going to disrupt our phone signal too much. But just so you know, there's a lot of weather heading my way.
Uh-oh. Well, you know, the other thing too, the other night, overnight, you went, I mean, absolutely directly south. And a couple of people were wondering if you pulled an all-nighter, if you just rode straight through the night and went straight south, or if that was just, you know, lucky nature currents pushing you straight south, or what happened?
I'm really happy to think I'm that tough, that hard as nails, that I would rode straight through the night. But no, I didn't. It was just the conditions were just pushing me south. So I woke up with some very good news. I was very, very happy about that. But no, as yet, there is no particular reason for me to pull an all-nighter. That might change later on. It might become necessary as I'm trying to hone in on that tiny, weeny little coral atoll that I'm trying to hit. But for now, it'd be a little bit early and a bit gratuitous to pull any all-nighters. So no, that hasn't been necessary just yet.
Oh, good. So, you know, the other thing people are really excited about, too, is that turtle that you sent through last night.
Oh, he's beautiful. Oh, wasn't he gorgeous? He was
colored,
so pretty. I only wish that I've got some more good footage. I really hope he comes back. I was just so delighted to see a turtle, because they're just very special creatures to me. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a lovely surprise. And especially to see such a pretty one. I'd love to know what kind of turtle he is. I'm afraid I'm not enough of a biologist or zoologist to know exactly what kind of turtle he was. So
yeah.
If anyone can take a look at the photo on my blog and identify what kind of turtle that is, I'd be most grateful. But
I'm sure somebody that knows it.
He just hung out under the boat for about 20 minutes, and it was only my very poor videoing skills that meant I didn't get better shots of him. He was very patient and hung around, but it was just very difficult to actually get shots from the right distance when you're not able to actually, because I was on the boat but holding the camera underwater. It was very difficult to see what I was actually shooting, so I was kind of blindly pointing the camera in the right direction and just trying to capture a few shots. So I'm going to put another photo of the turtle on tonight, and you'll see the little entourage of fish that was following him. Oh, and I think I've also got a shot of the creature that glommed onto my bottom a few weeks ago.
What was it? Tell us.
I don't know what it was, but I've got a picture of it, so I'm hoping someone else can look it up and tell me what it is. But it's like a little fish. It's about, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches long.
Okay.
And it's like a skinny little blackfish with a white stripe down it. And I noticed there was one that attached itself to the turtle's shell, and there was another one that attached itself to the hull of my boat. So they're obviously glomfish. Let's call them glomfish. They kind of glom onto any passing object.
That sounds like a remora.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like a remora. You know, those are the fish that like kind of suck onto sharks and they just sort of cruise along and they eat, particles that get left behind, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've seen remora when I've been scuba diving, but the ones I've seen have been a lot bigger. I mean, obviously remoras have to be little remoras before they get to be big remoras, so maybe these are just little ones. But anyway, I'll stick that picture on the blog tonight and see if anybody with a reference book or with greater knowledge and expertise than I have can identify them.
Yeah. Well, that'd be amazing. You're seeing some really cool wildlife out there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's going to be one of the things I'm really going to remember from this particular stage of my row, because between California and Hawaii, I didn't really see so much in the way of wildlife. I did see dolphins and whales, but only one day of each. And this, I've just seen so many fish. Like I said earlier today, I was just looking over the side of the boat, and it is like an aquarium down there. Mm. It was so calm and still. I could see fish at probably down to about 10, 15 feet.
And, wow. That's pretty good.
It is, yeah. And especially the Mahi. There are loads of those around.
Yeah.
And they often jump out of the water and then belly flop back in. So pretty cool to see those. And definitely if I had a harpoon gun, there might have been a few fish suppers because they look very big and very succulent.
Sounds
pretty
good.
Pretty as well. I think I'd find it really hard to actually shoot one. But yeah, loads of wildlife around, plus the birds, of course.
Of course, the birds. Are you kind of getting used to them being there, or are they being a little less offensive at this point?
The booby situation is much better now that that's just the one in residence. The main problem was when there's nothing on it, they just like...
Uh-oh. Hey, Roz, I think you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. You can say it again. You can say it again. I can hear you.
When there's more than one booby, they just really squabble and they're really noisy. So now that there's just one, he still stinks to high heaven. And especially on a calm day like this without any breeze to blow the wind or the smell away.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sort of used to it now. Basically, there's nothing I can do about it. He wasn't going to take the hint that he really was not welcome. So if you can't change it, then just live with it, I suppose.
Yeah. Hey, I have another question, actually. So Dane is running video right now of your launch event, and there were some images of Pohaku, the Hawaiian kahuna, that was doing the blessing ceremony on your boat. And remember, he gave you that, and I don't remember the Hawaiian word for it, which is really bad, but it was that offering to the sea that you were supposed to put into the sea whenever you were ready. Did you do that? I never heard about that.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid I didn't film it or anything. Yes, I put that in on... day two. I reckon that if you're going to make an offering, it's probably better sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so.
And I have to say that the ocean gods have been very kind to me so far, so it obviously works. And
yeah.
Let's just hope that that there's no expiry date on the good luck that brings. So yes, I did that very early on.
Oh, okay. I'll have to let him know. So maybe...
Yes, you too.
So can you talk a little bit more about the ITCZ and what's going on with that and how it's affecting you and sort of how you're kind of planning out for the next, you know, few weeks ahead? What's the story?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I'm now just above 5 degrees north. So I can say I'm in the ITCZ, and currently the weather conditions I'm seeing are fairly typical, I believe, of what can be expected. The weather is very, very changeable. It's also known as the doldrums, and for the last couple of days, there's been very little wind. It's been quite overcast. There were some rainbows this morning. It was sunny where I was, but I could see this monster black cloud on the horizon, obviously with a huge amount of rain coming down from it. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened in the ITCZ. It's just the weather gets very, very weird, very spooky, very changeable. You don't really know what's going to happen. It's often very calm, but once in a while, you'll get one of these squalls bring really gusty winds. So if I see a squall, I have to ground down the canopy so that doesn't get damaged. Mm-hmm. And just if it looks like it's going to be an absolute downpour, then I'm afraid I just go into the cabin because I'll be over in 10 minutes. So there's no point in getting everything, rowing gloves and rowing everything, getting drenched. So I tend to just beat a retreat. But what's going to happen in the next couple of days, hopefully, is a crossover. I'll come into the equatorial countercurrent. Mm-hmm. Mostly the current is going from east to west, but there is just a band that goes from 5 degrees north to south of the equator that goes the opposite direction, and it's going to be pushing me back towards America. But actually, if I want to hit Tuvalu, then that is good news, because at the moment, I'm probably, for the first 50 days of my time out here, I was going southwest, and if I carried on that way, I was going to miss Tuvalu, definitely, to the north. So, this would be so much easier if I had a chart I could show you over the phone. But if I'm going southwest, if I can now zag, after that zig, if I can now zag back a bit going southeast, then once I get down to the equator, I get back into trade winds that again are going to be pushing southwest. Then I'll do another zig that hopefully will bring me to Tuvalu. Because, you know, you and I have been talking a lot about Tuvalu versus Tarawa. Tarawa's got more infrastructure. But I suppose, so looking at all the information that's available to me from my weatherman, from these people who've, done a similar human-powered voyage before, Jason Lewis, with his pedal boat. It really does seem like if I'm going to give myself the best possible chance of getting to Australia on stage three, it would be really good if I can get down to Tuvalu. Yeah. So what I've now decided, and Nicole, this can be news to you as well, because I only decided this morning.
Oh, okay.
I looked at my statistics. I had my calculator out, and I looked at what the trend winds north of the equator were doing to me. And I've worked out that if I can cross the equator between 175 and 176 degrees west, then I think I've got a good shot at Tuvalu.
Yay!
Yay. so that means from where I am now, I need to drop south pretty much, or even a little bit east.
Okay.
So that's basically my plan. And nothing is ever guaranteed. Right. It could be that the trades from south of the equator are weaker than they were north of the equator. But from this distance out, there's no way of knowing that because it's going to change from day to day. Yeah. But I would say on average, it seems likely that if I can head if I can cross the equator due south of where I am now, then I've got a pretty fair chance of reaching Tuvalu, which would set me up well for next year.
It would. Further south you can get this time around, the better, for sure.
Yeah, because if I can get down to Tuvalu, which is at 6 degrees south of the equator, it gets me out of all this weirdness, the ITCV and the countercurrent, and gets me down into the southern hemisphere trade winds. So although it's still not going to be a breeze to hit Australia, it would give me a good chance. But I just want to sound a note of caution. Crossing the equator is going to be difficult, probably. Looking at what happened to another rower, Erden Uruk, who rode across the Pacific in 2007. Yeah. Oh, he just had such a shocker.
That was a bad year.
Crossing the equator.
6 months, huh?
Oh, yes. I can't believe
it.
6 months of just zigging and zagging, just bobbling along just north of the equator.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 months and 3,500 miles. He kept pushing south, kept trying to get south of the equator, and just kept ending up in this awful trap of currents and winds that just wouldn't let him across.
Yeah.
So there is so much luck involved. I might be as unlucky as Erden, or else I might just get a lucky break. It might be at Neptune or the Hawaiian god of the ocean or whatever whatever deity might just let me through. So
I think this just underscores the enormity of the challenge that you have on your plate right now, Roz. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously your progress thus far has just been absolutely amazing and wow, but holy cow, the hardest is still to come, really. I mean, it could very well be very difficult from this point on. I mean, who knows? So I guess the point is to get all of your rosters and your followers and your fans to be sending you all the good vibes and the luck and really just, you know, kind of crossing fingers that you get these lucky currents and winds and that things continue to go as well as they have done. Because it's going to be interesting the next few weeks.
It certainly is. And I don't even really want to think about the potential downside. I mean, we're talking about contingency plans and what would happen with the book tour and the walk to Copenhagen if, by some chance, if I do miss Tuvalu.
Right.
But it's really just a case of taking it a day at a time. And, yeah, as you say, hoping for the best and trying to manage my luck as much as I can.
Yep, absolutely. And we'll make it work. There are lots of contingency plans. So just to reassure everyone too, because I know people are all very concerned for you, but there's a lot of sort of work that goes on behind the scenes. And just so you know, Roz is in good hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the worst case scenario is that I just have to carry on rowing and I've got plenty enough food on board if I did miss either Tarawa or Tuvalu. I would theoretically have enough food to see me many, many more miles, but it would obviously be rather inconvenient and require a lot of rescheduling of things.
Rescheduling. But it's not the end of the world. So, you know, as long as you have enough food and enough water, everything else can you know, be rearranged after that, if necessary.
Absolutely.
But I just hope you continue going on this.
I've learned after spending nearly 3 days on various oceans, it's that you never can tell with oceans. You never know quite what's going to happen. So all you can do is be prepared for any eventuality and keep your fingers crossed.
Absolutely. And one last thing, too, before we go, Roz, I wanted to let everybody know about some updates that have been made to the Roz Tracker. Evan here at Arkinoetics has been working fast and furiously to get some really interesting new features up on the Roz Tracker. And one of the things is that basically, if you look at the Roz Tracker now, so you go to Roz's website, which is rozsavage.com, and you can push hit on the tracker or just hit /tracker. Basically, you'll see some grid lines on there. And so that'll show your latitude, your longitude, the equator. But there's also a few more points of interest that are now available for people to see in the Pacific, some additional islands, that kind of thing. And then the other new features, if you would click on any one of the little points of interest. So there's a little pink S in a white square. That represents each day that you've been out at sea. And if you click on that, it'll open up all of the social media items from that day, because it was just looking like a little bit of a caterpillar. And so it was trying to make it more visually appealing. And so if you click on any given day, you'll see the blogs, the tweets, the videos that you've posted on that day. So that's one feature. And then another feature is if you hit the play button. Okay, so if people are watching it live, you can see it on the screen. If you click on the play button, you can actually see your whole journey. If you kind of wanted to, you can put in the number of seconds that it'll take to show. So you can just see your progress along through the Pacific. And there's also the journal, which is really great. The graphs are really interesting. You can see the speed, the distance you are from any given point in the South Pacific right now. So it's pretty cool. He's done some amazing new additional features on this. So it's looking good, Roz.
That sounds great. Wow. I wish I could see it. It's interesting that the Lat and Long are on there now, because I'm aware that I refer to those quite a lot in my blog. And yeah, if people, it's great that people see them. So that will now, I suppose, be showing the Equator and the International Straight Line, both of which I'm very close to now.
Yes.
So that sounds fantastic. Thank you, Evan. Good job.
Yay, Evan. So, Roz, the other thing I wanted to tell you is somebody actually gave me the Martin Truce book the other day to read, The Sex Lives of Cannibals, because Martin Truce and I have been corresponding about, because he and his wife had spent 2 years in Tarawa, and one of your lovely fans and supporters, Karen Morris, the Lemon Lady in Emerald City, she sent through his contact details, and so we've been corresponding. He's been kind of giving us some information about what to expect in Tarawa and that kind of thing. So that's kind of interesting. I'm really excited to read it, because you enjoyed the book, didn't you?
I haven't. That's the one that I haven't read.
I read
Sticking Stones with Savages.
That's
it was the title, I suppose, that drew me to that one. And I just listened on audible.com. I really enjoyed listening to Lost on Planet China. And that was what inspired me to mention Martin Truce in my blog, and hence for Karen to write him.
Okay.
So thank you so much to Martin. I'd like to say a big thank you for all the top tips and the information. That's really great. I'd love to meet him sometime. Where's he living now?
I think he's in California, Northern California, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
so we'll try and arrange a meeting
sometime.
In San Francisco or something. He's given us some really helpful tips, because not a lot of people really have gone to Tarawa, and he and his wife lived there for 2 years. So, and I'm told this book is really, really funny. I'm really excited to read it.
Well, his other books are brilliant, just very entertaining. He's a great writer and tells a great story. So I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Probably one of the more enjoyable bits of research that you have to do as my program director.
It's fun. It's really interesting. And I've got Doug Grant, who's Unca Doug on your blog roll. That's he's helping me with some additional research, because there's a lot of things to find out about that area, and lots of plans to be made. So I've got some help enlisted.
Oh, great. Oh, that's cool. Really glad to hear that. Team Roz, thank you all so much. I don't say thank you publicly enough or often enough, but I definitely couldn't do what I do without that kind of support. And I know that my mum, who was also a key member of this team, and in fact was the only member of my team when I was doing the Atlantic, I think she really appreciates having a few more hands on deck now as well. So, very grateful. And it's just wonderful to know that, you know, Team Roz is very, how can I put it? It's a very fluid concept. There are people like you and my weather guy who are very involved day to day, but I would count all the people who post comments on my blog and all the people who listen to the podcast or respond to tweets. Just everybody I feel is part of the team, because they all contribute in some way to my morale and just helping to keep me going. So thank you.
Yay, Team Roz.
Gratitude for the day. Yay, Team Roz. Thank you.
So have you decided on your favorite name for your fans?
I think we're going to go with Roslings. I think that, although Rosters are lights as well, I'm still a little embarrassed to have my name in it, but do you think Roslings is okay? My concern about it was that it sounded a little bit diminutive, I suppose, and I feel like we're all equals in this.
Well, I think Roslings is kind of cute. It sounds like Goslings. I don't know. I like it. I'm a big fan, but maybe people will give us some more ideas on the blog and through Twitter.
Yeah. Or else we could all just be Team Rodsters.
Team Rodsters? Sounds like Teamsters.
Teamsters, yeah.
So what do you have going for the weekend, Roz? Any big plans?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd go out, see a show, go out for dinner, hang out with some friends. Oh, no, sorry. That's in my dreams. You know what? I think I'll do some rowing.
Just rowing. You know, the new Harry Potter movie came out this week.
Oh, really? Well, maybe I'll go see that. But saving that, if I want to do a movie, I've still got the soundtrack to Life of Brian that I could listen to.
Oh, have you listened to it yet?
No, I haven't. Well, it was really meant to be for a dire situation. Like, if I really desperately needed cheering up. And I haven't been that desperate yet. So it's still, if I'm running into real problems trying to cross the equator, that's when I might have to play the Life of Brian card. But no, I haven't listened to it yet. Well, the forecast is that tomorrow there's going to be a southerly wind, so I'm not quite sure what that's going to do to me. It's meant to be just a very light wind. Mm-hmm. But that is obviously a bit of a concern because I'm trying to go south and this boat doesn't like headwinds.
No.
So I would say that the general plan is just keep pushing south. Yeah. Actually, interesting, while we've been doing this podcast, I have been going almost east.
Oh, wow. That is really interesting. It's amazing how fast it changes. I think there's no way to plan, is there? You just kind of have to row in the direction you want to row in. And then, I mean, who knows what happens? It changes almost minute by minute, it seems.
Yeah, certainly after the consistency of those first 6 or 7 weeks, life is getting a lot more interesting. And I think it is going to look a little bit erratic on the Roz tracker, but I don't want people to worry. I am going to keep pushing south. I'll let people know when it's time to worry.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, any gains south are good news, and even a bit of east is good news too.
Good thing. Yep.
Obviously, going due east is not ideal, but anything southeast-ish is good news in my book.
Yeah. Oh, exciting
so,
times,
pretty happy and pretty positive, and I think that I'm actually, at the moment, things are looking good. I would say I'm in quite a good position, hopefully, to be able to make a landfall in Tuvalu. In a way, it'd be great if I could go to Tarawa, because we've got more information about that place, but I've got to look at the long-term picture, and the ultimate goal is Australia. So, from that point of view, then, Tuvalu's probably number one choice.
Yeah, it's really interesting because in order to get there, I would have to, because I'm based in Honolulu, for those of you who don't know, so I'll have to fly to Fiji, and then there's only 2 flights per week that go to Tarawa, and I think it's about the same for Tuvalu, so it's a really remote, I mean, you're about as remote on the planet as you could possibly be right now. There's just really not much out there, and it's not easy to get there. Quite an adventure.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's taken 2 months to get this far. I do notice I don't see any ships. It's been a long, long time since I saw another vessel, and I haven't even seen an aeroplane going over. And last night, when it was so dead calm, I felt a very long way from anything and body. If I run into trouble now, it's time. Missiles come to my assistance, so let's just hope that it doesn't go why it should.
But, well, I mean, the one thing you do know is the safest place to be is inside that hatch, you know, if things start to go crazy. You just bolt yourself in there, and it's watertight, and safest place, right?
Absolutely, yes. And I don't think it's changing from hour to hour, so it's really just a case of carrying on pushing south and doing what I can do to deal with whatever Mother Nature decides to do out to me.
So, Roz, what's your crave of the week? Have you been, like, craving anything particularly? We haven't heard of any, like, super hunger pangs that you've had this time around. I mean, in the beginning you were craving ice cream, but anything lately? Not to bring up a sore subject.
I've had a couple of days when I've just thought, actually, you know what, I'd really love to do at the moment. I'm craving some nice, clean, fresh laundry. You know, I don't wear any clothes, but just things like
I usually wear a t-shirt at night, and just the blanket that I sleep on and the pillowcase. I can rinse them out and freshen them up a bit, but it would just be really nice to get really clean. That's something that I would really, and a shower would be lovely. I bathe myself with bucket and sponge, but just to feel really, really clean and wash my hair, that would be nice. Food-wise, you know, the cravings kind of wear off after a while, but I have to say, I'm hoping that it doesn't take me 6 months to cross the equator, because it would be nice to get back to dry land. There's a lot of things that I would like to get on with. It would be nice just to be back around people and having a choice of food, and I love the food that I've got on board, but after a while, even though I've got a good variety, you know, so that I go, oh, I really love some scrambled eggs this morning. Well, it's just not going to happen. So far, right. The booby is not obliged by laying any eggs on my full cabin. It would just be nice to have a bit of variety, I suppose, rather than waking up in the morning going, what should I do today? Oh, I know, I'll row. It would just be nice to have a bit more, a bit more variety, a bit more choice.
Yeah.
So I'm reasonably content out here, but I am also looking forward to getting back to dry land.
Yeah. Well, Roz, I think that's about it for us for this week. So I just wanted to say thank you for letting me fill in for Leo. I'm sure you'll be really happy to have him back next week because he talked to me all the time anyway. But
it's been fun doing this. It's a different kind of a conversation, and it's certainly brought a fresh perspective to the podcast. So, yeah, it'd be great to have Leo back, but I really enjoyed the Nicole Bilodeau interlude. Thank you so much for the last 3 weeks.
It was fun to make a podcast debut. It was kind of neat. So, Roz, do you have any? So we'll join in next Thursday and you'll be back with Leo and keep on rowing, girl.
I certainly will. So it'll be back to the usual time, Thursdays with Leo next week. So yep. I look forward to seeing everybody else again then.
Okay.
See you next week, Roz. Bye.